6, if you would. I'll give you a moment to get there. The book of Mark, chapter 6. Amen. We'll trust God to help us. And we're going to trust God just to move. And we may, on the lights over here, we got them tuned down a little bit. We may have to push them all the way up. If you would turn them all the way up, they won't flicker anymore. That's good. That's all right right there. I know it's a little brighter than usual, but we're still trying to work that out with the wiring a little bit. So, hello, everybody on this side. And we're just going to trust God to help us today. Amen. Mark chapter 6. I know we have some new light fixtures. I know we have a tendency to look up the whole time, but if you look at them, you are going to see dots. I may like a dot to you in a few minutes, so you might want to stay up here. God will help us. Amen. And just trust God to move in a mighty way. Mark chapter 6, we're going to read verses 14 through 29. Amen. And I'm just going to trust God to help us. You there, just give me a good amen. All right, let's start reading. And King Herod heard of him. And this is talking about Jesus. He heard of Jesus. For his name was spread abroad. He said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is the prophet or one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John, whom I had beheaded. He is risen from the dead." Sounds like a guilty conscience, don't it? Amen. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Do you notice there that it didn't recognize Herodias as Herod's wife? Still called her Philip's wife. Amen. Go on, it says this. It says, For John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced, it pleased Herod and them that sat with him. The king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." And he sware unto her, "Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto half of my kingdom." And she went forth and said unto her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in straightway with haste unto the king, and asked, saying, "I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake, and for the sake which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner, and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in prison. And brought his head in a charger, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Now, we read these verses and that's some heavy reading, isn't it? Sounds almost like something, I don't agree with the soap opera mentality, but seems like something you would hear of in Hollywood, of a marriage that was broken up and then a young daughter coming dancing for her stepfather. And in the process, she gets manipulated to ask for the man of God's head on a platter. We look at the story, and there's, if I was to title this, I would title it, "I wonder what she would have really asked for if she had an option or a decision. I wonder what she really wanted," is what I would title this. But three things this week, I'm not going to say who or what. I heard three things this week out of the mouth of children that I thought was very unique and interesting, and it kind of broke my heart. One day I heard a child say something like this, one of the young children at VBS said, "I wish I could live with my mom, but I can't because she's not stable." Then I heard another child say something like this, "When I see my dad, he's mean to me." And I heard another child, and I just try to put things together in my mind, said, "I hope my dad's in a good mood when I get home." Now, I heard all these things, and if you're saved by any degree, amen, you would admit that things like that cause your heart to hurt, causes you to weep inside and say, we know that children are facing things nowadays that are horrific. Things that are disastrous. Things that we wish there was something that we could do to help all the children in the world, because we know there's so many hurting children. Well, today in this message, it was born out of that. I want us to change our focus on the story. I don't want to focus on John the Baptist so much. I don't want to focus on Herod so much. And because a lot of times the story ends up being preached just about Herod and John the Baptist. But there's somebody else in this story that I want to focus on. And it is this young lady who is often overlooked. The daughter of Herodias, whose place in Scripture is 100% negative. We look at Herodias' daughter, and the first time we see her, she's dancing there provocatively in front of the Herod and his guests for entertainment. And then the second thing we know about her is that she asked for John the Baptist's head on the platter. And when we see her in Scripture, instantly we paint this picture of this girl that is evil and this person that is so manipulative and cannot wait and bloodthirsty for the head of John the Baptist. But when I look at Scripture, I feel the Spirit open me up to something that we don't normally focus on. When I look at the daughter of Herodias, yes, there's a negative thing about this. We see her dancing and we see her asking for the head of John the Baptist. And we almost ask ourselves, we see that about her. What else do we want to know about her? Probably everything else is bad. But I want to hone in on this. I want to magnify this for a moment. As I see something different here in the story, I want to look deeper because I see something here that is worthy of our attention. I want us to get a burden for this young girl, because this young girl in reality is all around us in our society. She is a young girl that is from a broken home. She is a young girl whose mother is not godly, and whose stepfather is not godly, and whose real father is not godly. I see this girl, and I was thinking about this young girl, and I thought about it before, but I said, oh, we just look at her and say, oh, look how pathetic she is. Look at her dancing. Look at her for asking for the head of John the Baptist. But the Holy Ghost would ask her to ask a deeper question. Look at the results of a broken home. Look at this young girl who was exposed to heartache and did not have anybody to help her navigate through her young years. Look at this young girl who most theologians agree that this young girl was around maybe 14, 15, or 16 years old. She's a young teenage girl. And my friends, today we've got to understand there's many young girls like this right here in Newport News and Hampton and Yorktown who's from a broken home, who needs direction, who is hurt, and is doing things that she feels is right. But look, and she said that she does those things because she don't have any direction in her life. And I want to let you know something. When I study history, Josephus gives us this girl's name. Her name is Salome, which means peaceful. I don't want to look at this young girl today as a nameless young lady who did something bad. But I want to look at this young lady and say, I wonder what she really wanted. I wonder what was going on inside of her heart. I wonder what she really inside the turmoil. Why did she dance like that so willingly? Why did she do this so willingly? I want to look at this young girl and I want to get a burden for her. And I want you to get a burden for her. And if we don't get a burden for her, it's going to happen time and time again from generation to generation. Let's look at the parents who is the cause of a lot of what we're seeing in the current generation. We look at the stepfather by the name of Herod. It's not wrong to be a stepfather. That can be a very blessed thing. But there are several Herods in the New Testament. And the best known Herod, the one we often focus on, is the one that tried to kill Jesus the day that he was born, the Herod there that was in Bethlehem. But we know that this Herod was Herod Antipas. And Herod was a married man. He was married not to Herodias at first, but his first wife was the daughter of Aretas, the Arabian king of the Nabateans, is what the name of the land was, who the land bordered Perea there. Or Perea. And he was one of those people. He married a king's daughter. And here it is, Herod's married to her, and we see the story. He's this man, and there's other things we could talk about, but then we see that he's the stepfather. But let us introduce you now to Herodias. Now, we don't know a whole lot about her. We know that Herodias originally Herod had a brother named Philip who was a ruler as well. And we know that he was married to his own niece, and her name is Herodias. It's off on the wrong foot already. It's incest involved. Philip married his niece, and she was Herodias. And we know that they had a daughter, and the daughter is the one we're going to talk about today. Her name is Salome. We look at Herod and we see Herodias.
But then we've got to understand how these two are connected. They had what I would call, the world calls it a love affair. I call it a lust affair. I look at this and notice that these two, when I studied history, because it sheds a little light on this, that when Herod was visiting his brother Philip, that Herod and Herodias yielded to temptation and they began this lust affair to the ruin of two homes. We notice this, that Philip was married to Herodias. From what I understand in history, as Herod visited Rome, there it conspired within that household, and we know that they both decided that they were going to leave their spouses for each other, and we see the ruin of two homes. Their illicit lust affair ruined two households because Herodias left her husband Philip, taking her daughter Salome, and Herod banished his wife to make place for his new mistress. This caused conflict in Israel, and at that time, because the Jewish people weren't going to have that. Do you know how fast news travels? Yes, especially bad news. Man, you know, you hear bad news all the time. And you get excited when you hear good news. You know, it took some good news for a change. That term comes from because there's a lot of bad news. But you know how fast news travels when it's somebody that's in a position? You know what I'm talking about? Let somebody of some position somewhere, you know, if a homeless man somewhere does something, you know, you may hear of it if it's very bad or something. Well, you let a man somewhere that's in a position, and rightfully so, who does not live up to the title of his office. Guess what? Here it is. The word was all around town. We know that here this caused conflict because Herod and Herodias violated two cardinal laws of the Hebrew faith. His act of adultery was condemned by Moses, and taking his brother's wife itself was a violation of another law, and it was still his niece. It was incest. It was not permitted by any man to marry their brother's wife. So we notice this. John the Baptist comes in town. Everybody's talking about it, but John's the only one that's bold enough to say something about it. Amen. You've got to love John the Baptist. Amen. He hopped up. Hey, Herod, it ain't lawful for you to do that. Now, you can study. We don't have time to get into all the tenses of the word. But the text tells us that John didn't just say it one time. But it was a continual thing that John kept. When you look at the tenses of the word, John continually was going around town and even told Herod himself, it is not lawful to have your brother's wife. You can't do it, Herod. You just can't do it and expect God to bless you. And we know that everybody was talking about it. And we know what happened here. We know that Herod got mad about it and brought him until a place in captivity there. And we know that even Herodias was so mad at him that she kept on telling Herod, you need to kill this man. And even Herod said, I need to kill this man. But he was afraid of John and feared him because he knew that God used him and the people loved him. He didn't want to start a riot against his throne. But in all this, we can look at all these things. It sounds like a soap opera. But then we are introduced to this daughter. Oh, how many knows that a lot of times the daughter and the child in these situations are exposed to some very bad things. We look at the daughter. Her name is Salome, which means peace. And at the center of all this turmoil and the family feuding and the lust affairs, we have a young lady who most believe was in her early teens. Her mother had left her father, Philip, for her uncle in an affair. She had to move away from her home. And no doubt she is filled with confusion and hurt and bitterness. On top of all that, she is left alone to navigate through it all her own. She has no direction. And I look at this young girl and my heart is bleeding for her. Let me tell you a problem that we live with right now. News alert. This generation needs deliverance. And there is a generation gap that has to be filled and that has to be dealt with. We have older people, and if you're here, wear it. I hope everybody here's got a burden for the younger. If we ain't careful, we can look at the younger generation in contempt and say, man, I tell you, they just need to do this or they need to quit doing that. And guess what? You're right. Right verse, just wrong spirit. Right words, wrong time. We look at the younger generation. I wish they'd get up and get over it. I wish they'd do more. But I'm telling you, with the divorce rate at the highest it's ever been, and with their teenage pregnancies at the highest it's ever been, and with teenage suicides at the highest it's ever been, you've got to do more than grab a cup of lemonade and sit back in a chair and read your Bible once a day and say a little prayer and say they need to get over it. Come on,
Our churches are missing godly elders to help bring them through it. What about laying hands on the teenagers and praying them through to the Holy Ghost? My God, help us here. I thank God for the saintly, gray-headed women in the church that I come from different times that were there patting you on the back. Pray through, Brother Derek. You're going to make it, Brother Derek. Now ladies are ashamed to have gray hair. I ain't telling you nothing. I'm just telling you this. We need godly ladies. We need godly men. We got men, I'm telling you, we've been a corrupted mentality, a shifting in society. I'm telling you, we need ladies and men filled with the Holy Ghost. Look, I ain't telling you what to do here. I'm telling you this, but we need somebody with a burden for a younger generation. It's all right to be older, and it's all right to have a burden, and it's all right to be a grandparent, and it's all right to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to pray them through and let them know that God loves them and cares for them. I look at this and I gather some things. Can you imagine the dinner time conversation at this house? Salome sitting there. You got Herod and you got Herodias. And the voice of truth has spoken to Herod and Herodias. It ain't lawful for you to do that. And I picture them sitting there at the dinner table and Herodias speaks up. Herod, you hear about John the Baptist out there talking about us all week? Yeah, I heard about him, sweetie. What you going to do about it? Honey, I'm trying. Doing everything I can. Honey, you can't believe you said that. It makes me mad. That's just the same thing that Cain did. In the Old Testament, here's the voice of truth, and the only thing you can do is kill it because you can't debate it nor reason with it. So what do you got to do? You got to snuff it out. And so you may not take up a rock and kill the man of God. You may not pick up a knife and try to slay a preacher or slay somebody that preaches that word unadulterated. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can take your words and you can kill them time and time again. So here this young lady is sitting at a table. Her mom and daddy sitting there. The word of God has come to them. And you know what? They're sitting there. They're offended by truth. And I believe just in my mind, I picture them talking. The voice of truth is being attacked right in front of her. And like a hammer. They are chiseling away at her innocence and distorting her worldview till she's sitting there and she's just a product of what her parents are. Generation Y, if you're not aware, is the current generation. They're called the digital native. They're called the Peter Pan generation. They're raised with the internet. The highest influx of screen time and pornography and indecent pictures and lies. You know, half the things that come across the news channels a lie nowadays. They get more lies and see more worldviews and they're left there to sort through it by themselves. And that's why we tell men and women of the world, we say, look, get in that Bible and be there to provide structure for them and backbone for them. Make sure you've got a skeleton for them that they can grow. We want teenagers to grow spiritually without even a structure. We've got to give them a structure and they got to be in the season that they can receive that. Amen. You're looking at me like I got two heads up here. It's the truth. We have a hurting generation that is a product of unspiritual parents. And we used to blame it on the world, but now we see it in the church. And we're saying, what's the problem? I would notice this young lady here, by the name of Salome. I picture her being that young lady. She just wants to make her mother happy. You see this in Scripture. This is a cry. It is a natural desire inside of every child. A longing for the affection and the attention of their parents. Children will often go over and beyond to please a parent because they're hungry and they're empty and they want that affection for their parents. And it is a shame and a tragedy when that desire is taken advantage of by a parent and they use it for a selfish agenda. I remember when I was younger, this desire that I'm talking about. My dad used to, he drives from North Carolina an hour and a half every day to work and sometimes longer than that. Depends on where he's working. Done it my whole life. He don't want to live in the city. He likes being out there with 4 acres and being able to have horses when he wants them and burn trash when you want to and all those good things. But my father said this. I mean, my father, when I was younger, I remember being a young boy, I wanted to get up and start cooking him breakfast. I mean, he got up early. I thought it was early then. It ain't too bad now. But you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, for a boy during summertime, that's a big deal. I remember waking up and I know kids are different nowadays, but how'd you learn to cook an egg, Brother Derek? We just couldn't one. Went in there, I seen Mama do it, put the pan on the stove, turned the oven on and put the cracked the egg and dumped the yolk in there. Remember, Dan, I made you breakfast. I remember watching them over there chewing and crunching on the shells from that egg. And next morning I tried to do it. He finally said, son, you can sleep. It's all right. I like getting something somewhere else. I want a grade A chef, I guess. But you see what I'm talking about? I remember that desire inside of me. I wanted to make my father happy. I wanted him to be joyous. I had a friend. Yeah, many of you know this. Another example of it, but this is a tragedy. I have a friend that's in prison right now. His name is Scott Daniels, and we were best friends in high school. I mean, we were buddies. He was a football player, and I wasn't a football player. Amen. He played sports and got good grades, and I did the bad things. He got the bad grades, but we found a unity and liked each other. And his mama ended up getting addicted to drugs. Scott was, we called him, you know, it's new lingo maybe. He was a beast. He was a big, strong guy. I mean, humongous. Eat 4 peanut butter sandwiches before he works out because he wants the protein. And I want a McDouble and a McChicken and a sweet tea. I mean, complete opposites. And I had a metabolism then, so it was all right. But I won't never forget Scott's mother was on drugs and she got involved with a man. And the man was beating on Scott's mother. Bad, breaking ribs, things like that. And I remember being at Scott's house, and I mean, nice home in the middle of Edenton, nice home. I remember Scott's mother coming in screaming and crying. Scott, she would run back to her bedroom and Scott would go back there with her. Remember nights laying there sleeping at Scott's house, you hear her back there screaming because of drug withdrawals that took all the inheritance that they had and squandered on drugs. The man kept beating her, and one day Scott's mother came to Scott, and her last name was King, but she came to him and said, Scott, he's beating him and you need to kill him. Natural inclinations, I can't kill nobody. Mom, Scott, I need you to do it. He's going to kill you. He said he's going to kill your brother. He's going to kill all of us. And Scott said that he can't kill my family. So in that, trying to please his mother, Scott took a bat and killed a man. What I'm trying to paint to you is this. We look at Salome falling after her mother's desires. Notice that she's desiring and craving affection. She needs this. And so she starts following her mother's bad example. And I'm telling you, that's the story that is rehashed to us again and again. It's a cycle in our society. The parents produce the children, and the children try to be like the parents, and the parents are selfish, and the children become selfish. I look at this, and we see this evil thing that happens in the life of children nowadays. And I've witnessed it because I have preached to hundreds of them. I've held their hands in jailhouses. And I've talked to them in hospitals. And I've got friends today that are in eternity that I went to youth camp with that died with a needle sticking out their arm, who's from a home that was devastated by divorce and by abuse and by domestic violence. It was evil. What happens is this child, and they're young and vulnerable years. They're following after mother. They're following after father. And they're trying to meet their desires. They're trying to live up to their expectations. And there that mother or father is trying to live their agenda through their children. And everything is backwards. And that child opens up, becomes vulnerable to the parent until it injures them. And the whole childhood, they open up to the mother and she injures them. They open up to the father and they're injured. They open up to the mother and they're injured. It's continual until that young person becomes a teenager and they say, I cannot be vulnerable no more. I must harden myself to everybody because everybody wants to hurt me. If my mother will hurt me, surely everybody else will. So they raise their children with the same pattern. And I've heard them say this before. I have a drug addict uncle. And my grandfather on my mother's side, my real grandfather, wasn't a godly man. And my Uncle Richard said this time and time again. The reason I started smoking marijuana, the first time I smoked it was with Dad.
And you hear that. Rehash, our society has produced this again and again. So we see this open up in Scripture. Notice this party that takes place here. Can you imagine the level that some parents will stoop trying to fulfill their agendas? Herod threw a party for his birthday, and Herodias seized this opportunity to get to John, and she used her daughter to do so. As Herodias pulls aside her daughter Salome and lets her know, sweetie, you know you've been learning to dance all these years, and you know you've been provocative learning to do this. I want you to take your abilities and I want you to go out there and dance for your stepfather. Can you imagine? As the orchestra played soft music and through the curtains came dancing this girl. She had been specifically trained in the art of seduction. They had often seen lewd exhibitions, but never had they ever seen a princess stoop this low. It was against the policy of the palace for a princess to dance in front of men like this. But her mother knows no boundaries to get her agenda in her life. You know how many kids I've met in this world that you can tell the parents are trying to live through the children? Come on. Why does she dress that way? Because mama can't dress that way. Come on. Why'd you get that? Because mama can't do that, so you go do it. I ain't making this up. I've seen it time and time and time and time again. I've seen it to where the father, he didn't get the scholarship, but you're going to get it, boy. Come on. You didn't make the NFL, you didn't make the NBA, but son, you're going to make it, and I'm going to do everything I can that you can get there so they can live through the moments for them. It ain't about God's will. So with this, I notice this as she's dancing there. Notice that Herodias was willing to allow her daughter to occupy such a disastrously role. It indicates the intensity of her bitterness towards the man of God, John. But notice this, what happens. And when the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, it pleased Herod. And then that sat with him. And the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he swore unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask, I will give it thee unto half the kingdom. Notice what she does next, something that every kid does. And she went forth and said unto her mother, the one she's trying to please. Can you picture this? I know this is grotesque to think about. But here it is, that teenage girl stoops to this level of lowliness. That natural reaction that should cover up and should be modest. No, it's gone now. And she's out there dancing provocatively. So what she does, she goes to her mama and said, mama, it worked. Herod was pleased. The man was pleased. He said, I can have anything up to half of the kingdom. Notice what happens here. What shall I ask? She asked her mother, give me direction, mama. This is a big question. This is a big opportunity. What can I ask for, mother? Can you give me some guidance? Can you give me some direction? And her mother's personal selfish agenda comes out. Get the head of John the Baptist for me, baby. Now, look at this. This young lady left feeling accomplished. Had an opportunity to basically ask whatever she wanted. She goes to her mother for guidance concerning this rare privilege. And she wants the head of John the Baptist. Listen to the victory in the mother's voice. Careless about how this is going to traumatize her daughter for the rest of her life. Because somebody's about to die at the request of her daughter. And the mama don't even care. There's mothers and fathers who could care less what their children are going through. And they propel them into this world. And they ain't asking the question, what is my baby going to have to live with the rest of her life if she does this, if she goes down that road, if she dresses this way, if she goes to this dance, if she makes this mistake. They're not worried about what their son is going to face if he marries this girl, or dates this girl, or plays this, or misses church this month. They could care less. Just get the head of John the Baptist at any price. Now notice this. The pride of Herod and the death of John. I assume Herod thought that Salome would ask for maybe a new pony. Maybe a nice chariot. Or maybe she would even go as far to ask for maybe a small portion of the kingdom that she could be called the queen in. Whatever she was going to do. And she came in straightway to please her mother. She came straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his own sake and for their sake which sat with him, he would not reject her. Herod, you're a coward. You were drunk. In the height of a moment, you swore away half your kingdom. The right thing for you to do, Herod, is, look, boys, I'm sorry. I overreacted. One boy was asked what he would have done if he was Herod. And the young girl came to him and said, I want John the Baptist's head. The young boy said, simple. I'd have told him that John the Baptist is a part of the other half of the kingdom that you can't have. Clever. Little boy on the mission field thought of that. But Herod was not wise enough even to think of that. The king Herod's pride wouldn't allow him to say no. And the Bible says immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother. You notice that? Herod gives it to the girl and she brings it to the mother like a cat that just killed a mouse and waiting for a little affection from the mother. We have a cat that really has to have 9 lives. I don't have it. My mother and father has it. I don't believe in that stuff. But her name is Scarlet, and Scarlet is old. I remember during Hurricane Isabel, it blew over. We had our mobile home. It's all right to live in those in Carolina. And have a mobile home. And I remember Isabel ripped the top off like it was peeling back a sardine can. I remember being at Grandma's and watching and saying, oh no. And Dad was really saying, oh no. We had a cat, so we moved up about 5 miles, through the woods. You 5 miles, you had to go down to the end of Happy Home, take a right, take another. You don't know where I'm talking about, but just trust me. You wouldn't believe it. We couldn't find the cat when we left, and a few weeks over there at the new location. Look, Scarlet! We moved back home. Couldn't catch her. A few weeks back in a new home, back at our original location. Look, Scarlet! One time, Dad went to work. The cat got in the back of the truck. Dad's working in Virginia. The cat jumps out. Get home. There's Scarlet. I'm telling you, Scarlet is invincible. When I go home, I don't think about the cat never until like right now. I go home. I say, she's still alive? I was 7. That's been ever been a 10, 12 years ago since all that stuff happened. And she was 10 years old then, it seems like. So whatever she's eating is working for her. But I'll tell you one thing about Scarlet. She can hunt rabbits. She's like a panther, I'm telling you. Multiple times, and this is not a beautiful picture for you at lunch this afternoon, but you come into the garage, you're like a rabbit head. Decapitated the thing. Follow that cat. It sits there beside that rabbit head and wants you to pet her. She'll do it with mice and several things. But you see this little girl with this platter with a head on it? The voice of truth, the voice of direction in her life. The one that told her mom and daddy true that they could have a blessed home. See her walking to her mom like a little cat. Mama, please tell me I've made you happy. Please tell me I've made you happy, Mama, please. That's happening in our society every single day. A picture of a young generation. This is a vivid picture of the youth today. You have a child from a broken home, and the parents are selfish and corrupt. The mother is self-centered and trying to fulfill her desires through her daughter at any expense. So long as a young teenage girl who, like her mother, has been told to use her body as a tool to get what she wants in life, Herod is a prideful man and a father who won't admit when he's wrong. Both parents hate when the preacher told them the truth, so they slaughter the voice of truth, and this young girl is left there to witness it all, and it's going to haunt her the rest of her life. And as God was speaking these words in my heart, and I was just typing them down, I come to this place and I ask this question. I wonder what she really wanted. The head of John was not her desire. It was her mother's. If I could sit down with Salome and press past the hurt and the corrupt worldview, and which would take some time, I'm sure, I would tell Salome, if you were to be honest with me, Salome, what did you really want? Did you want a horse? I believe she would look back at me if she was being honest. No, Pastor. I didn't want a horse. What did you really want? Did you want a new car? Nowadays, would you want? No. I didn't want a new car. Did you want a new home? No. Did you want jewelry and clothes, etc.? No. What did you want, then, Salome? I believe a hurting voice would say back, I want my mama and daddy to get back together. I want to be back home with my friends. I want my innocence back, Pastor. I didn't want to go out there and do that. I was trying to make her happy. I didn't want... Can I feel clean again? I don't want to see John the Baptist's eyes looking at me off that platter. It haunts me. What did you want, Salome? I want it all back. I wish I'd never done it, Pastor. I wish I never went there. And my advice to her would be this. Collect counseling the Salome of our generation. Sweetie, this is what I would say to her. Sweetie, I'm sorry about your parents. And I wish that I could change it. I wish your parents weren't selfish. I wish your mother would be the mother she's supposed to be. But there is one who can help you, young lady. His name is Jesus. He can heal your broken heart. He can deal with your parents and the emptiness you feel, He can feel it for you. The emptiness you feel and the affection you desire, He can feel that void, and with love so rich that it can satisfy the deepest longings. He will be the water that will make you never thirst again. Look, Herod promised you half the kingdom, but my God owns the world. Oh, pathetic Herod, you disgusting man you are. You're in charge of like three provinces and you think you're tough. I'll give you half the kingdom, sweetie. Why ain't you generous? This earth is my God's footstool. And He told me, whatever you have need of, you can just come to me. I love you and I care for you. I would tell her, sweetie, Herod is in charge of a few regions, but your heavenly Father has the earth as His footstool. History tells us that Herod's rule didn't last much and so many more years. But Salome, hear me. I'm telling you, His kingdom's going to fail, but your heavenly Father's kingdom is going to last forever and ever and ever. Herod said, ask anything up to half the kingdom. Jesus said, ask whatsoever in my name, and I will give it to you. Where Herod could give you bad things, Jesus will give you good things. Do you want forgiveness, sweetie? Do you need to be loved? He already loves you. And if you ask Him, He will forgive you. Now, this is basically the gospel in a nutshell, what I just said to you. But let me tell you right now, as I know you're getting a little weary, but hear me. This week at BBS, that is exactly what you presented to these children. In a group of children even that size, you are dealing with some of the deepest hurts, even though you did not see them. You were dealing with some of the most hungry hearts and did not know it. And what you thought was just giving them a little food was actually feeding their soul. What you thought that pat on the back was just something else you do. No, it meant a whole lot to them. When you said you were proud of them, it was like words that echoed through their heart. It brought joy to them. And when you let them know that Jesus loves them and has forgiven them and cares about them, you've given the best hope in the world. You've given them the gospel. And there's a load that is sitting there right in front of us this week who needs exactly what this young lady needed. I want to say thank you for giving it to them. But can we stand to our feet right now and pray for them? I can't describe the burden I feel just as I this week have interacted and talked. Oh God, help us. Help us not to be callous to this. Oh God, help us not to be callous to this.